and amen. If you have your printout, I want you to take it and look at it. You'll notice it is Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. The title is The Source of Life, that is physical life and also spiritual life. It is life, period. The life that has created all that exists, the Bible tells us. And we come to the conclusion, this is the last message that I will preach in the book of Revelation. We've been in this book for quite a while now. You should have a good understanding. It will not be a perfect understanding, but it will be a good understanding of what the book of Revelation, not Revelations, plural, but Revelation, singular. It is the unveiling of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you have something to write with. Here we go, verses 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me, that is John, a river of the water of life. Underline those three words, the water of life. And this refers to God abundantly supplying the spiritual needs of His people. It refers to God abundantly supplying the spiritual needs of His people. This water of life was clear as crystal. Underline clear as crystal. It is referring to the purity of God's heavenly city, that is the New Jerusalem. Then the angel showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. Underline that phrase, throne of God. And I want to say this, God is an eternal spirit. And if God is an eternal spirit, and He is according to the Word of God, then we cannot see the God. Is that correct? All right, God is an eternal spirit. We believe that. That's what the Word of God has to say. He does not sit on a physical throne. This speaks of God's sovereign rule. Then the angel showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life. Underline that phrase, the tree of life. And I want to ask you a question. What did Adam forfeit from God when he sinned? What did Adam forfeit from God when he sinned? Well, he forfeited a perfect fellowship. I want you to underline the word fellowship after you write it down. The word fellowship is koinonia in the Greek language, and it refers to intimacy. So therefore, he forfeited a perfect intimacy, a perfect fellowship. He forfeited a perfect knowledge. He forfeited a perfect eternal life. And I'm going to continue. He forfeited a perfect communion, also a perfect worship, also perfect light, also perfect victory, also a perfect vision of Almighty God. Then the angel showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I don't know how many people I have had to ask me, why do we need healing in the new earth and the new heaven? Well, we're going to look at that and come up with the answer that the Bible gives us. Number one, will there be a sea on the new earth? The answer is no. Number two, how will water be supplied? A, by the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, which is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. A single throne shared by God the Father and God the Son. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, you cannot be saved. You're not going to have a place in heaven. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is God, always has been, always will be, and that is non-negotiable. It is not even up for discussion. All right, the new earth also will contain the tree of life, which first appeared where? In the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden. So Eden is the easy answer there. And from which humans were barred from eating after Adam and Eve sinned. So the leaves of the tree are for healing the nations. So let's get into that. Question number one, why would healing be necessary in the new heaven and the new earth? A, because there is a group of people, and you're going to have to pay close attention here if you're going to get this. Because there is a group of people who have access to the heavenly Jerusalem, but who do not live there. There is only one group of people left on earth to go into eternity in their physical bodies. Those who were true to Jesus Christ and served Him during His millennial. The millennial is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ that is going to take place after the 7-year tribulation period when Jesus Christ comes all the way down to the earth. They go into eternity after the millennium with physically glorified bodies, not spiritually glorified bodies. And I have given you this scripture to look up on your own time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 38 through 41. That is like Adam and Eve in the garden. Now these will make up the nations who did not live in the New Jerusalem, but who will have access to the city. They will need the leaves of the tree for their continued health and well-being. Verses 3 and 5. There will no longer exist anything that is cursed, because sin and illness and death are gone. And the throne of God, underline that phrase again, the throne of God. And write this down, if you will. There is one throne. There is one throne, but two on it. But two on it. God and the Lamb. There is God. There is also a divine Messiah and a personal Holy Spirit. It gets a little deep, but you need to study that also on your own. There will no longer exist anything that is cursed, because sin and illness and death are gone forever. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And His bond servants, underline bond servants, actually bond servants in the Greek is doulos, and it is the word for slaves. There is going to be no slavery in the new earth and the new heaven. You are talking about bond servants. They will be in their resurrected, glorified bodies, and they will serve. Underline the word serve. It means they will keep on serving the Lord Jesus throughout all eternity, and they will never stop. They will serve, and they will worship Him. With great awe, stop for a moment. Underline those two words, great awe. You know what? Just imagine in your mind's eye what it's going to be like. You're not forced to serve. You're not forced to worship. But you're going to have a great awe. And I really have no human words to define what great awe means or what it's going to be like. But it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a part of worship that you and I have never experienced here on planet Earth before. It will be with great awe and joy. Just imagine the joy you're going to be filled with. It is a spiritual joy you have never felt before, but it is a joy that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you and filled you up with in order to serve and worship Him. And a loving devotion that you've never even known about before. They will be privileged to see His face. Underline the phrase, see His face. See His face in the original language means unrestricted access. You, as a child of God, as a bond servant, you will have access to the living God at any time you need it. Also, secondly, it refers to perfect communion and perfect communication. So they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. Underline that phrase, His name will be on their foreheads. It refers to a symbol of ownership and security. And there will no longer be night. they have no need for lamp light or sunlight, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign as kings forever and forever. So the original intimacy intended in the Garden of Eden is going to be fully restored. Now turn to the top of page 2, if you will. Notice number 1, in the new heaven and new earth, will everything be just as God intended it? The answer is going to be absolutely yes. Notice the phrase, and His servants will worship Him. Who is Him? It is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Does the Bible speak of anybody else that is to be worshiped? No, He does not. So who is to be worshiped? It is Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one, I'll say it again, who paid our sin debt in full on the cross over 2,000 years ago. And there's only one thing that's going to keep you out of heaven. It is what? It is unbelief. It is unbelief in Jesus Christ. But I always have somebody come up and say, Terry, I have committed some sins I don't even want to think about again. I don't even want to look at it again. I don't think God's going to let me in. There's no way He would let me in heaven. My friends, let me tell you something. On the cross, Jesus Christ paid for every sin you would ever commit in your life. It's not an issue of sin. It's an issue of unbelief. Will you take the unbelief and turn it into belief in Jesus Christ? If you will not, you're not going to heaven. You say, well, I believe in God. That's not going to get you into heaven either. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, by grace through faith are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you go to John chapter 14. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you're going to spend an eternity, Jesus says, in the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. And He is not going to change that. And you can take that stamp once again and put non-negotiable upon that also. All right? Now, servants implies that believers, these are believers in Jesus Christ, will be happy in serving and working in the new creation. So what are you going to do? I've had people tell me I'm going to fish throughout all of eternity. I beg to differ, because if you'll read the Bible, there won't be any water on the new earth. So I don't know where you're going to fish. That's really interesting right there. You might want to read your Bible and get prepared for what's actually going to take place. So the word servants implies that believers, again, believers in Jesus Christ, they've received Him by grace through faith, will be happy in serving. Who's going to give you a happiness that you have never had before? It's going to be the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is going to be right there working with Him. So servants implies that believers will be happy. They will receive a divine happiness they've never had before in serving and also working in the new creation that has been supplied by God and the Son and also the Holy Spirit. Overseeing the planet, that is planet Earth, is going to be a new Earth, to varying degrees corresponding to their rewards. And I'm going to say this, what you do here on this world, in planet Earth, in this physical body, is going to have eternal consequences. Let me reread that. Servants implies that believers will be happy in serving and working in the new creation, overseeing the planet to varying degrees corresponding to their rewards. Well, here's another question. Is this environment, will God's people see His face? In this environment, will God's people see His face? The answer is yes. All right? Now, I'm going to ask you another question. If God is an eternal spirit, how do you see the face of a spirit? Oh. All right, there you go. He says in verses 6 and 7, then He said to me, these words are faithful and true. They're coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent His angel as a representative to show His bond servants the things that must soon take place. In other words, very suddenly, like lightning. And behold, I am coming quickly, blessed, happy, prosperous. to be admired is the one who heeds and takes to heart and remembers the words of this prophecy. That is, the predictions, consolations, and warnings contained in this book. I have had preachers tell me, Terry, don't waste your time in studying the book of Revelation. Don't waste your time preaching or teaching the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is mainly for who? Believers in Jesus Christ. So when you sit under a pastor, a teacher, somewhere in a church building that says, we do not read Revelation, we do not teach Revelation, it is not for us, okay? Then you need to get up, take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 1, I believe it is verse 3, where he says, blessed is he who reads and studies this Bible called the book of Revelation. All right, back to the printout. These words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel as a representative to show his bond servants the things that must soon take place, very quickly, suddenly. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired is the one who heeds and takes to heart and remembers the words of the prophecy, that is, the predictions, consolations, and warnings contained in this book or scroll, Revelation. Number one, is every word spoken in Revelation true?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Why is it true?
God said.
All right, it has come from God, it has come from Jesus Christ, and also the Holy Spirit. Number two, do we know when these events will take place? The answer is no, we don't. Number three, does Jesus Christ command us to take this book seriously and act on it? The answer is yes. Verses 8 and 9. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who heed and remember the truths contained in the words of this book, worship God.
Amen.
Number one, Revelation is a book of prophecy, but it is also a book of worship. What is the appropriate response to the works of Revelation? It is worship. May surprise you. Verses 10 and 11. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. I want you to underline that phrase, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. Why? Don't seal the book because Jesus is coming. Don't seal the book because Jesus Christ is coming. So he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. For the time of their fulfillment is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy, that's vile and impure, still be filthy, and the one who is righteous, just and upright, still be righteous, and the one who is holy, still be holy. Number one, the words of this book were not to be sealed up. You have to ask the question, why? Because they are to be read, which will lead people to one of two responses. A, some will not heed the admonitions and continue on a path of rebellion against God. What is rebellion against God? It is saying absolutely no to Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. It is what? Not living by the Word of Almighty God. It is you living as though you are your own God. You call the shots. You do what you want to do. And you feel it will be okay and good enough to get you into heaven. Others will heed the warnings and move in the direction God wants them to go. That is namely righteousness. And where does this righteousness come from? It is the righteousness of Almighty God. In fact, when you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is His righteousness that is credited to your account. It is not yours. You can never produce righteousness. It's never going to happen. Then you go to page 3. He says, "Behold, I, Jesus, am coming quickly." That is, coming quickly, that means suddenly, with the speed of lightning. "And my reward is with me, to give to each one according to the merit of his deeds," that is, earthly works, that is, faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is responding to divine persuasion. And where is this divine persuasion going to come from? It's going to come from the Holy Spirit, and it's going to come from the Word of the living God. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." What is he saying? I am the judge. I am the rewarder. And don't ever forget that one either. So he says, "And blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired are those who wash their robes in the blood of Jesus Christ by believing and trusting in Him." That is very specific. Someone other than Him, it will not work. It says in the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Only begotten means only one of His kind. There is only one Jesus Christ. There is only one Savior. There is only one that went to the cross. There is only one that was resurrected by the power of Almighty God. There is one that is coming back, and there is one that is going to judge every human being that has ever lived. All right, back to the printout, if you will. So what is he saying here? "And those who wash their robes in the blood of Christ by believing and trusting in Him," that is, Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter to me what BLM has to say, or what woke has to say, or what Joe Biden has to say, or what the Democrats have to say, or the Republicans have to say, or the independents, much less the idiot liberals have to say. There is only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. So I am not obligated to open my arms and say to any other religion or any other faith or any other belief and say, "Come on into America, you are welcome." America was built on the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is personal Lord and Savior. He's blessed us with the best military in all the world. He has blessed us with fighting men and fighting women. He has blessed us beyond what we will ever know as long as we are down here. So when Biden says, "Open the borders," Jesus says, what? "Open the borders," yes. "Open the borders to those, open it to people, and open it to those who are willing to come in here and receive Christ as personal Lord and Savior." We owe nothing to religious people that are serving Satan and worshiping him. It is only Jesus Christ, and it's time that America stands up and says, "This is the way it is going to be done by the Word of God," and get back under the blessings of Almighty God once again. And I don't apologize again for BLM or woke or Joe Biden. Here we go. Amen. "The righteous who do His commandments," that is, the commandments that you find in the Word of the living God. If you don't want to live by the Word as a Christian, I don't know how you're going to make it. You won't have direction. You won't have what God intends you. When you get saved, enroll in class 101, buy you a Bible, a study Bible, and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you in interpretation of the Word of the living God. And He's not interested in your interpretation. He's only interested in what He has given. And if you ask Him for wisdom, He'll give clarity, He will give interpretation, and He will give exactly what is needed for you to live as a child of God that is going to bring glory to Almighty God and allow you to live in maturity of Jesus Christ. Now, "And that they may have the rights to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." Let me say this. No one will outlast Jesus Christ. No one will escape Jesus Christ. Only Christ, being who He is allowed to define good and define evil. Period. Non-negotiable again. The reward will include access to the tree of life and the city. The greater a person's faithfulness in earthly life, the greater his or her access will be to special blessings in the eternal state. Verse 16, I, Jesus, it doesn't get any better than that, have sent my angel that I have created and given life to testify to you and to give you assurance of these things for the churches. I am the root, the source, the life, and the offspring of David, the radiant and bright morning star. Was Revelation written specifically for believers? What's your answer? Good. So when the issue of abortion comes up, and it's already been up, you know what to do. Amen? Thank you, as I see these babies hail. God gave you children. God gave you children. I'm sorry that the Democrats would rather see their legs torn off and their arms torn off than they would give them up for adoption. My goodness, church, I think we've had enough of Democrats, and there are Republicans and the liberals worshiping at the altar of Satan. Revelation is about the future and the present day church. Verse 17, the Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, believers, say come. And let the one who hears say come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take and drink the water of life without cost. Why? Come before it's too late. When Jesus Christ closes the door of salvation, it is too late. He closes it. He opens it. And brother, if He doesn't open it, then you cannot open it on your own. You cannot even make a decision to be saved if you want to. If God doesn't come to you first, you cannot come unto Him. Do you understand that? Do you understand that Jesus Christ is on His way probably? Jesus Christ is coming. Are you ready? People say, I'm getting too old. No, you're just getting ready. The older you get, the more ready you better get. Because getting old is just getting ready, right? Back to the printout. I testify, verses 18 and 19. These verses are from Jesus Christ. I testify and warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Its predictions, they all come from divine source, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Consolations and admonitions. If anyone adds anything to them, you might want to listen to this one good. God will add to him the plagues, that is the afflictions and calamities, which are written in this book of Revelation. And if anyone takes away from or distorts the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away from that one his share from the tree of life. Stop. Who or what group of people did we just read about? Is it you already there? The new earth, the resurrection, the resurrected, glorified bodies? Or is it going to be those that came out of the millennial in physical bodies that's going to need the tree of life? Which one would you get? Talk to me later. I'm just about done. Anxious to hear. Back to the printout. And if anyone takes away from or distorts the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away from that one his share from the tree of life and from the holy city, New Jerusalem, which are written in this book. In other words, don't change the book because Jesus is coming. Verse 20, he who testifies and affirms these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. What a statement of grace. Jesus is coming soon. Is that correct? Possibly. This book should inspire you to worship. Is that correct? You can understand enough truth in Revelation for you to thank God for your salvation, for your eternal future, and for God's grace. If reading Revelation makes you a better worshiper, it has achieved its goal. Amen. Give me about 5 minutes. You don't have this. I'm going to close with it. In the celestial city, evil, sorrow, suffering, sin, and selfishness will not exist. Death will never enter our minds. All good things will never come to an end. As His people give praise and honor to God and enjoy Him forever. That's our true home. That's where my mother is. That's where my father is. That's where my believing grandparents and friends and relatives who have passed on have gone. They're home. I would say that to Chad and the family. He's home. He's received Christ as Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if I go and prepare a place for you, brother, I will come and I will take you home. And I believe when Jesus says it, He's going to do it. Amen. Are you feeling homesick yet? I've never done this one. It's a praise and worship prayer. I want you to listen real close. It's a praise and worship prayer. Make us a praising person. For I know that when we worship, we gain clear understanding. Our lives are transformed, and we receive power to live your way. Help us to hear your specific instructions and enable us to obey them. Give us a longing to do your will. And may we enjoy the peace that can only come from living in total obedience to your commands. I'll finish it. Most gracious Heavenly Father, praise and worship prayer. Fill me to the point that I truly, biblically, spiritually worship. That I truly, biblically, spiritually praise. Because where there's praise and where there's worship led by the Holy Spirit, there's going to be prayer. And how powerful those prayers are going to be. Will you let God make you a praising person? He can. With that praise comes wisdom. With that praise comes clarity. With that praise and thanksgiving and adoration and glorification comes more than I can even begin to guess. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise you. We love you, and we thank you so much for loving us. God, help us to stand, to go forward, not backward, to stand up for Jesus. Soldiers of the cross. Learning how to say no with the authority and the power of Almighty God. Saying no, not here. No, not in this school. Not teaching a racial hatred, but teaching a loving God. A forgiving God. A God of great mercy. God of great wisdom. A God who loves people, especially babies. Father, I pray, do something and wake up the other side that would rather kill them than love them. And for John Trent, welcome home, John. Welcome home. God bless the family. In Jesus' name, amen.